word this morning. Are we ready for God's word?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's fine. Hallelujah. Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We do ask and receive this morning that utterance is given unto us as the truth of God's word is proclaimed. There is clarity this morning. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy in precision. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. And at the end of today's meeting, our saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we started a series on Wednesday. What's the series we are in? Believers what? Believers conduct. Believers conduct. And we started looking at a few things on Wednesday. You see, when it comes to the topic of believers conduct, it's a very, very interesting topic. And a lot of times, like we always say in Bible interpretation, that you know, you hear people say things like, oh, just read only the New Testament books. Do you understand? Ephesians 1:1-3, blessed are you, seated in heaven, Christ in me, the hope of glory, the wealth of the believer. You know, just read New Testament books. You know, but a proper read of the New Testament books will take you back to the Old Testament books. Because all they were explaining in the New Testament books were from the Old Testament books. Are we together? So, the Bible is a whole book that, you know, it's a complete book. You know, the Bible is a complete book. We've looked at investigating scriptures, and we've been able to see that it looks like there are some contradictions in the Bible. But really, the contradictions we find in the Bible are only found in the hearts of, you know, the man who reads. So there is a way to read the scriptures, and there's a way not to read the scriptures. We've done, you know, a series on that. And in fact, in 2 months from now, we'll be looking at investigating salvation. That might be our longest series ever in God's palace. Because it's going to take time. I'm going to explain a lot of things about salvation, the faith that we have, the faith we profess, and things like that. You know, but I'm trying to create a landing space. You know, so that investigating salvation is the end goal of the series I started this time last year. You know, I started investigating scriptures last year. Then we switched into what? Generosity. Is that true? What did you do in September? Lean of the Spirit. So investigating scriptures, the lean of the Spirit. Then we went into generosity. And so what we call generosity was really a Bible interpretation class or Bible interpretation services. Yeah. And we are now going into believer's conduct. You know, then next month we'll be looking at, you know, as Spirit of God will lead us next month. We trust that we'll know what exactly we are to do next month. Yeah, then we plan to do investigating salvation for long. So we want to explain salvation from Genesis chapter 1 up until Revelation. So I might be tempted to touch the book of Revelations in that series, which I've promised us 3 years ago or 2 years ago. 3 years ago. You know, I said something. I said I'll teach Revelations chapter 1-3. In not too far a time from now, then the remaining chapters, I'll teach them in 2077 or something like that. You know, but in this particular series, you know, like I was saying, you see, some people say grace, and some people make grace to look like a license to live any life they want to live. Are we together? I'm under grace. The reason why people are scared of what we teach is that because it looks like people now see it as a license to misbehave. Am I talking to people who don't know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's a tricky question. Am I talking to people here? Okay, so, it's very, very interesting. And think about it this way. Imagine if I came into church this morning now, right? And I just wore one, you know what you call baggy? Is that a word? Baggy. Baggy is a tradition. It's the place in Abuja, yeah. Baggy trouser. I used to have one baggy trouser for over 2 years, right? Mom, what are you doing? I said, we don't remember. There's one baggy trouser, one soldier collar like this. Hallelujah. So there's this, imagine I just come into one baggy trouser and just wear one socks, one white shoe, you know, and I'll sag my trouser, and then I'm now bouncing like this. You know how they used to bounce? That one leg, as if you have leg problem. You have to, and I have to want to wear behind me. And I wear office cap. I don't even wear full shirts. I wear what you call sleep. No, there's, what is that? What I want to call right now is singlet. But I'm talking about the sports singlet. Is that what it's called? Armless. I'm talking about singlets. But one that, not tanked up now, who is that? Yeah, you know, and I just come into that store and just see on my muzu that I don't have, I'm not about to say like this. Yo. You know, if some of you invited your parents to church, they will walk out. Yeah, so you see it, man would always look on the outside. Are we together? That I walk into church with a baggy trouser and a sleeveless and my face cap to the back. You know, someone said if you wear your face cap to the back, it means you are thinking backwards. You know, we attach a lot of what's the word we use during leading of the spirit? Superstitions, yeah. But take your back to it. So imagine now the fact that I walk into church that way, does that make me unsaved? Doesn't make me unsaved. I'm ever, forever going to be full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Now, what does God do, or what business does God have to do with us? Yeah, the work of Christ has affected our hearts. Yeah. You see, the work of Christ doesn't affect your dressings. Altogether. Yeah, you know, some people say that, oh, every morning the Holy Spirit chooses the clothes they wear to walk. Every morning. You don't know people like that? You know, are you one of them? Okay. You know, some people say that the Holy Spirit, but you know, if you always ask them, if you probe further, you realize that their Holy Spirit is fashion sensitive. Because they don't mix colors. You'll never see them wear purple and orange and green shoe. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit has a good dress sense. You know, but a lot of these things are just our emotions. You know, but what the Spirit of God has done to us, He has affected our hearts. But now, our lifestyle and the physical things we are doing is only seen by men. Are we together? It's only seen by men. But there's a problem in teaching. There's a problem a lot of people have in teaching those things seen by men. So what we end up teaching without knowing is that we are teaching that God validates us based on what we do on the outside. Are we together? You see, God validates us based on what He has done on our inside. Are we together? God is only... How did I even say it again? God validates us on what He has done on our inside. Yeah, so it means that because He has put the Spirit of God in you, He has put His Spirit in you, you are forever His property. Yeah, but there's a lifestyle expected from one who is housing God. Yeah, that's why believers' conduct is a lie. Some people don't know how to behave because they're Christians. Some people don't know how to exhibit what they are full of because they say that, oh, we're under grace. You know, let's see what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Yes, we are righteous, we are holy, we are blameless. The work of Christ has separated us. You know, but there are certain responsibilities that we owe our fellow brethren. There are certain responsibilities that we owe fellow people, you know, around us. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Paul tells Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You see, when Paul told this to Timothy, Paul was writing to Timothy as his spiritual son. Is that true? Yeah, so Timothy was Paul's spiritual son. So when Paul is writing about scriptures to his spiritual son, when he's talking about being a child, that being a child will be in reference to a spiritual reality. Yeah, so he's not saying, he's not saying from when Timothy was like that small boy there. No, he really doesn't know so much. Right? Yeah, so but Paul tells us, he says, and that from a child you have known that the Holy Scriptures are able to. Yeah, so a good way to read verse 15 will be, and that from when you set out as a saint, yeah, from your being born again, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Yeah, the word there, holy, is the word that means Arius, is the word that means something that is set apart. Yeah, so thou hast known the set apart scriptures. So scriptures are set apart for a particular purpose. It says they are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So it means that the wisdom of scriptures is salvation. Now it means that the scriptures have an ability. What is the ability of scriptures? To make thee wise unto salvation. You see, the word there, wise, there is a word that means skillful. Are we together? So, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which have an ability to make thee skillful. That word there unto is the word concerning or pertaining. So, which are able to make thee skillful, pertaining salvation, that is through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, scriptures, which is Genesis to Malachi at this point, is to make us skillful concerning salvation. Listen, everyone here. So, it means that you can defend your faith from Genesis to Malachi alone. Do you get that? Yeah, it means that as a Christian, if you go to a place where there is no Matthew to Revelation, yeah, you should be able to use Genesis to Malachi to defend your faith. Have it together. So, in as much as you see the New Testament books to be brief, straight to the point, as if they're just quoting, explaining, quoting. Yeah, but in the real sense, a good student of New Testament books, yeah, should go back to the Old Testament books. For they are able to make this skillful concerning salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 16. It says, all scriptures are given by inspiration. You see, that word there, all scriptures, it means that all these scriptures, yeah, so it will mean Genesis to Malachi. Is that true? Is that true? It says, given by the inspiration of God. That word there, the words given by the inspiration of God is a single word in the Greek manuscript. Yeah, theophanitos, yeah, God inspired. Yeah, so given by the inspiration of God, he says, and is profitable. That word there, profitable, is a word that means advantageous. Are we together? Yeah, and is advantageous for doctrine. So I replace profitable there with advantageous. Now that word there, doctrine, is a word that means teaching. Yeah, it says, and is profitable for teaching. It is advantageous for doctrine. It is advantageous for teaching. So it means that now scriptures are inspired by God with an advantage to teach. Did I do justice to that? So scriptures are inspired by God with an advantage to teach. In other sense, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word there, reproof there, is the word that means evidence. Yes, the word there, reproof there, is the word that means evidence or assurance. He says, so it means that all scriptures are inspired by God and they are advantageous for teaching. In teaching, we have assurance. So we have evidence about our faith. Evidence about salvation, which is by faith in Christ Jesus. So he now says for correction. The word there, correction, is a word that means to rectify or to straighten up. The word there, correction, it means to rectify or to straighten up. It means to rectify or to straighten up. To align or to realign. To readjust. To bring back on course. It says, for reproof, for correction. He now says, for instruction in righteousness. That word there, instruction, is the word that actually means training. Are we together? So, it means, what is Paul saying? In verse 15, Paul is saying that scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. He now gives the importance of scriptures in verse 16. He says that scriptures are inspired of God. They have an advantage, which is teaching. So, if we were to write God's Scholar's translation of that verse, right? So, we can say it this way. God inspired that scriptures should be written. The advantage of that is for teaching. In teaching, we have assurance. What would the assurance be in reference to? He has told you in verse 15, wise unto salvation. So, it would be to have an evidence for our salvation. Yes. To have our thought system corrected or rectified. Yeah. Now, where would the rectification be in your thought system? That is your knowledge, right? So scriptures realign our thoughts about God. So it means that you can teach from the book of Isaiah, or the book of Isaiah. You can teach from the book of Ezekiel. You can teach from Genesis to Malachi and prove that God doesn't kill. Are we here? You can go to Genesis to Malachi in the same books where you see that God kills. Remember, if you remember the teaching on Passover we did, when we're explaining the Holy Communion table. Yeah, and we saw that, you know, we always thought that Passover means that God is going to destroy, but God will be the one to pass over when he sees the blood. No, but in the same book of Exodus, it tells you that what? To be destroyed of the destroyer. Are we together? So we now explain the word Passover to mean what? I will stop. Yeah, so if you look at scriptures, you see that, oh, God was the one killing the people in Egypt. Yeah, but in the real sense, it was that what? Something was being stopped. So it means that in the Bible, it says in book of Moses writing, you see, children shall have a repercussion for what their fathers have done. When you read Ezekiel, when you read Jeremiah, it says what? There shall no longer be a time where the children shall suffer for the deeds of their fathers. Are we together? Yeah, you know what we call generational curse. Yeah, you can teach generational curse from the Bible and teach how generational curse are stopped from the Bible. The same Bible. Not even just the same Bible, let me say better. Genesis to Malachi. So it means that in the book of Genesis to Malachi, we see what? An advantage to make us wise unto salvation. In that, there's a correction of our thought system. In that, there's training in righteousness. So what Paul Peter says in 2 Peter 3, verse 18. It says, but grow in grace, which is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. It says, but grow in grace, and the word there and is the word kai. Yeah, but grow in grace, that is in the knowledge of our Lord, that is, we taught that on Wednesday. So, grow in grace means what? Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Grow in grace simply means what? Grow in the knowledge of our Lord, that is our Savior. Who is that? Who is that? Jesus Christ. He now says, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. So as saints, we are called into a ministry of growing in knowledge. Is that true? Is that true? Look at Matthew 28, verse 18. Let's read this together. Let's read this together. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. One, two, three, go. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. What's the word there, power? Authority, right? And Jesus came and said unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Look at verse 19, right? Let's read together. One, two, everybody together. One, two, three, go. So, go ye therefore and teach. That word there, teach, is a word that means what? To make people students. Yeah, to make people. So, you know what you call an. Now, do you know who you call an apprentice? Apprentice, right? So, you know who is called an apprentice? Right? Who's an apprentice? Someone who is learning from a master, right? So, you know, I don't know if you have all those big men DSTV repairs. You know, when they want to repair a DSTV, they come with. And one other guy that will be laying cable. You know, another guy that will be laying cable. Or if you are learning, what? Tiling. They just tied your house recently. Is that true? Yes. I just, you know, your environment determines the. So, you know, if you come, someone that's a tiler, you know, there's one who will be sweating inside the dust, and there's one that will be instructing. You know, 5x4, make this place wedge, you know, or tailoring. No, sorry. You know, people don't say he's not tailoring, he's what? Fashion designer. A guy, I tailor. Let's leave English. You're a tailor. Eh? So, you know that tailor who is a fashion designer? What's the name for people that do hair? No, stylist is Touche. Hairdresser. You know, hairdresser. So, imagine you're an hairdresser. Or you're a tailor. Let me use tailor. If you're a fashion designer, right? Now think about it this way. When you are seeing your master sew, what do? You pay attention. How many of you can see your master sew, you know, and be doing Instagram? Me with my master, Master Kirch. You know, you know, there's a time you can do that. But imagine your instructor just resumes 8 a.m. on Monday morning, and the person is eager to teach you. And you now bring out your phone camera and say Snapchat, say hello to the camera. You know, a disciple is that person who watches and learns. Now, remember from our last series, we've explained that the pastor is one who is to give an example and feed the flock. So the saints who are among, or the saints who the pastors, yeah, they're the ones who look at the pastor and learn from his doctrine and learn from his example. You know, let me use an example. You know that a lot of times when you learn how to drive from people, you will most likely drive the way the person that taught you how to drive drives. Yes? Do you understand? Yeah, you most likely, if you are one who you learned how to drive from someone who is after a turn, a put-on trafficator. You know, there are some like that. After you are going left, it's after you've turned, you're not on the trafficator. You know, if you are one who, you know, you will most likely be turning like that. If you are one who your instructor teaches you how, or 5 minutes before the junction, you'll be in, that's trafficator. You know, you will most likely be like that. If you are one who learns how to drive by doing like this, you know how they used to do when they want to reverse? That's a Nigerian local way of driving. I've never done that in my life. I don't know how it works. How can you be driving like this? How can you drive like this and you're doing like this? If you do that, that's your grace. You have the grace for it. But the people that design the car, they put one mirror, they put two mirrors beside you. Even some, their car still has camera. They'll still be doing like this. It's what he says in the blood. If you check it very well, their instructor used to bend neck. Are we together? Yeah. So you learn by taking note or observing. So that is the word Jesus used there. He says, go ye therefore and make people apprentice. Yeah. Make people students. Make people pupils. Make people disciples. He says, of all nations, say, baptizing them, say, indoctrinating them to the work of God. He now says in verse 21. 20, sorry. He says, teaching them to observe all things. Yeah. Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Yeah, that word there, observe, is, you know, a closer word to that is to pay deliberate attention. All together, if you are learning how to drive a car from one who removes the shoe, the first thing you do when you enter a car is to remove your shoe. You will think as if you're entering mosque because you saw him remove his shoe. All together, so the reason why you remove your shoe is because somewhere in your mind you think I cannot drive with your shoe. You've taken note of that activity, it has become yours. That's what discipleship is all about. Are we together? Yeah, to make thee wise unto salvation. So by observing and paying deliberate attention, we see that what? We are becoming disciples. So God wants the earth to be saved. How will he do that? Through you and I submitting ourselves to be students of the word and bringing in more people to be students of the word. You see, what Matthew wrote in 2-3 verses there, how many days did Jesus teach for? 40 days upon resurrection. So Jesus died, he resurrected, and he taught for 40 days. Back to back. Look at him and say back to back. Yeah, so it means that we are to pay attention to the things that he said and the things that his apostles said who were students of his. Did you get that? Yeah, when Jesus resurrected, he had disciples. He gave them the instruction to go make more disciples. In making more disciples are made. Yeah, so we are to pay attention to the people who receive doctrine from Jesus firsthand. You get that? You see, we don't have too many scriptures to show exactly what happened in 40 days. But it's not hard to know that what Peter would have said after the 40 days teaching is most likely what he learned from who? Jesus in 40 days teaching. So we are to pay deliberate attention to scriptures. Now, we must also know that scriptures will not just exclude a portion of the Bible, but it will include what? Everything together. Are we together? So, what happened in 3 verses, you know, it happened for 40 days. So, we've seen an example in scriptures that Jesus was one who gave doctrinal teachings and gave examples. You see, Jesus did not just say, we can heal. And he did not heal. Is that true? Jesus did not just say, go into the world and teach, teaching them to observe without teaching. We saw that on Wednesday in Luke 10. Yeah, Jesus spoke about rejoicing. What did Jesus do? In that hour, he rejoiced. Yeah, so it means that we're trying to pay attention to what did Jesus teach? What did the apostles teach concerning conduct? Are we together? Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. So, a major question in the hearts of a lot of believers is, Pastor, how do I know the difference between what is right and what is wrong? Is that true? Now, let me ask you a question. You know that there are some things that are not entirely wrong, but a Christian should not be found doing it. Are we here? Can someone give me an example? There are some things that are not entirely stated in scriptures that this is wrong, but you should not be found doing it. How you dress? Okay.
Playing Niger bet.
Is this playing Niger bet? Bet Niger. dressing, how you dress? Uh-huh. Drinking, right? Is drinking heavy to come out of your mouth? Yeah, drinking, right? Something else? No, drinking, death, it cannot be coke, she was talking about. She said drinking, she's talking about drinking. When you are drinking. Yes, I'm raising. Another thing, clubbing. So, the Bible, it's not in the Bible that thou shalt not go to the club, even under the law. Right? Beautiful, and that's a very good example, clubbing. People, Christians have some questions. Anyway, I've not experienced someone coming to meet me to ask me if she can go to the club or he can go to the club. Imagine Brother Lemmy just wakes up on a Friday. Pastor, there's a ministration I have. Well, sir, this ministration is not in the world. It's in the flesh. Yeah, Cubana, blue Cubana. How do I know it? I pass, we'll say. You know, so, but these are questions. See, the truth is that except we want to be insincere with ourselves, these are questions in the hearts of people. Pastor, why should I not smoke? Yeah. Pastor, why should I not drink alcohol? Altogether, you know, but it becomes very interesting when people start defending some of these things from scriptures. You know, for instance, you can come from the narrative of which wine did Jesus turn from water? Say, Yeah, the wine they were sharing in Corinth that people were getting drunk. What were they drinking? Ever? What's this common one we always share around? Chamdor? Yeah, so you can always, there's always a way you can want to. You know, but we're trying to examine scriptures. What does the word say about certain things? Glory to God. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 3. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. He says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read verse 4 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Comma. So, when you're reading this verse, you know what I'm about to put? Yeah, as we are reading it, you will say, comma. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Boom, boom. All together. Boom, boom. Okay, colon. Yeah, it's called boom, boom. What did Jesus do? He gave. What did God do? He gave himself for our sins. Yeah, there is no portion of scripture that talks about what the work of the blood has done and adds material prosperity. Not one. Are we together? Not one scripture. When you look at Matthew 26, when Jesus took the bread, he said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for the remission of sins, not remission of your money. Are we together? Not a single verse in the book of Matthew to Revelation shows that the work of the blood involves material prosperity. Not one. Yeah, that's why I asked us to put comma. See, in the Greek manuscript, there's no word that was not translated in this verse. Some of you can go there now. So there's the Greek word that is missing, is omitted. Wealth in, that's wealth. You see? He says, who gave himself for our sins? Leave. See, a wise student of God's word stops where God's word stops. Are we together? Are we together? So, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. Now, has he given himself for our sins? Has he delivered us? So, that he might deliver us, actually, should actually read, now we are delivered. Lift your hand and say, I'm delivered. By the work of Christ. So, he gave himself. The giving of himself is the grace of God. Yeah, what Paul taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, chapter 8, verse 9, he says, for ye know the grace of God, how that he was rich, yet he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What is the grace of God? That he was rich, he became poor. He gave himself for our sins. He who need no sin was made sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. So we are one, or we are people who, upon believing the gospel, we are what? We have been delivered. We are righteous. We are holy. We are blameless. Are we together? Verse 5. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now, what is Paul speaking about to Galatians? What is the word I marvel? I'm surprised. I'm shocked. What in our day and time we call a beautiful. Yeah, so Paul is... So imagine Paul is just standing. at Timothy meeting. Ah, Pastor, what's wrong, sir? God, he shocked me. He shocked me. So so God's palace translation can reword. I shock. He shocked me that you are. Yeah, or I am shocked at the fact that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So that it means that there is something called the grace of Christ. There's something called another gospel. Is that true? There's something called the grace of Christ. There's something called another gospel. Now, in the last few sentences I made, what is the grace of Christ? Verse 4 tells you, who gave himself for our sins. So, what were they moving? I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. So, can you put in bracket the message that says he gave himself for our sins? Yeah? And you have moved on to another gospel. You see, the word here, another, is a word, the Greek word that means heteros. Yeah? Another is a Greek word that means heteros, something that is of a different kind. Yeah? It's different from the another in John chapter 14, verse 16. Or John 16, 14, where he says that I will send to you another comforter. The Greek word for that another, we saw it on Wednesday, is the word allos. The Greek word for this another, so it's the same English word another, but it means two different things. Yeah, the one for John 14, 16 is another, which is allos. That is the same. Which in two verses, Jesus says what? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So the another comforter is Jesus indwelling you by the Spirit. Are we together? Yeah. The another comforter as promised as Jesus is the word allos in the Greek. It is that which is of the same. This another is the Greek word etheros. And it actually means that which is of a different kind. So when you see Paul says that you've moved on to another gospel, it means that you've moved to another message that is of a different kind. What will it be in reference to? The grace of Christ. So the another gospel will be in reference to that which is not the grace of Christ. So what is Paul saying? I'm shocked too. You've so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ onto another gospel. Look at verse 7. Is that verse 7? You know, it says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. So in the real sense, what is that message which is another gospel? It is a message that troubles you, and it's a message that perverts the gospel of Christ. Did you get that? Another gospel is a message that troubles you, and a message that perverts the gospel of Christ. Go back to verse 6. Let me show you something again. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, what is Paul expecting that these people should do? They were supposed to maintain the message of the grace of Christ. Is that true? Okay, look at Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 1. 2 Timothy 4, 1. Paul tells Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Look at verse 2. Now, what did he say in verse 1? I charge thee. Right? So, can we say, I charge thee to preach the word? Are we here? Yeah? I charge thee to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. What does be instant in season and out of season mean? It means that even when they don't want to hear it, say the same thing. Are we together? Are we together? So it means that even if there's a worse thing than corona comes next year, what did Paul tell Timothy to do? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. When it doesn't look like that's what the people want to see, or want to hear rather. Yeah, what did he say? He says, preach the word in season, out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, that's patience, and doctrine. Verse 3. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So, what should we do concerning sound doctrine? Endure. Why do you endure sound doctrine? Because a time will come in your life when you don't want to hear sound doctrine. Is that true? Is every time in your life you want to hear sound doctrine? No. You must have, you know. Sometimes you can be on the TV station and just watch another man and say, I wish my pastor can just be talking these things. I wish my pastor can just, you know, I know this man can pieces the word. He can break the word into smaller chunks. You want to eat more chops? Go and meet Bralemi. They know how to apply it. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure. So sound doctrine is to be endured. So it means that after every service, you don't just say, wow, pastor's clothes was on point. Wow, pastor, take it. Poo. Yeah? A time will come when you are to... So sound doctrine is to be endured. What does it mean? It means that even when you don't want to hear it, that is what I'm saying. You are to endure it. How together? Yeah, even when you don't want to hear it, yeah, when the month of September comes, and I tell you, and I'm still teaching Christ and Him alone, Pastor, what happens to the ember months? Pastor, you know, there's something unique about ember. Ember, you know, ember is for the devil. You know, what did he say? Preach the word. Be consistent in season and out of season. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. See what will happen when they don't endure sound doctrine. Let's read together. Somebody is telling you your sins are forgiven. You are righteous. You are holy. You are made as a say, Pastor, is that all there is to it? No, Pastor, tell me how to take over my boss's work. What are you doing? After you're lost, you are looking for who to heap to yourself as a teacher. So you leave sound doctrine to go and hear another thing because of your itching ears. And you see, those messages, they know how to tickle your fancy. Yeah? There are three W's in heaven. Daniel was put in the lion's den and he excelled amongst the people. Put me inside, you know that scripture now? He says, when they were putting them inside the lake of fire, when he now said that if you don't put, even if, they say, for we know God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, give me Daniel 4. See, it was Daniel that was put into lion's den now. You know, we have one in the Ibadan. Head of one man in the tree, Mr. Lion's dead. Before he landed, they've eaten him. I say his name is Daniel. Daniel 3. Beautiful. Give me Daniel 3, verse 17. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Look at verse 16. He says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee on this matter. What does that mean? We don't send you. That's what we say in our Nigerian language. We don't care about you. We are not miser our words. See what he now says in the next verse 17. He says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Look at verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. You know what's in that verse? That even if God doesn't deliver you, is that not true? Even if God doesn't deliver you, you will not serve. Okay, if God doesn't deliver you, inside burning fire, what will happen to you? You will burn and die now. Do you get that? So there's no life for you after the burning furnace to say, I will not serve thee. Because if God doesn't deliver you, you will burn. So people say that, if God doesn't deliver, be it known unto thee, that we will not serve thy gods. Okay, if God doesn't deliver you, fire will burn you. You don't have an ability to either serve or not serve. Yeah? Nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What is he really saying? What he's saying to Nebuchadnezzar is this. If not, actually means if you don't throw us into the fire. Are we together? He's not saying if you throw us and we are not delivered, we will not. He says that they're saying that if not, it means that if you don't throw us into the fire, be it known unto you that we will not serve thy gods nor worship your image. Do you get that? Brashegun, come, let me throw you inside fire. It's like you're sleeping. So this is Brashegun, yeah? And I say, Brashegun, this is fire. I'm going to throw you into the fire. Right, and Bible says that Brashegun is not careful as to how he wants to answer me. What did Brashegun now say? He says, if you throw me into the fire, right? If I throw Brashegun into fire and he says God will deliver him, if God doesn't deliver him, will he come out alive? So that means there's no way Brashegun will say that if God doesn't deliver me, I will not worship your God. Because if God doesn't deliver you, you will burn. So what is Brashegun saying? Even if you don't throw me into the fire, he will not serve my God. Did you get that? Yeah, so please sit down. That was not what we were going to. I was trying to explain Daniel. You know, when Daniel was one who had the anointing. You know, people pray for the anointing of Daniel. Anointing of Daniel. You say, you know, after he finished quoting Daniel's story, or Joseph. Joseph the warden, Joseph the worshiper, Joseph the warrior. After I finish quoting, you have 3,000 members. You say, there's a Daniel here. All of you are saying amen. See, there was one Daniel in the Bible. There are 3,000 of you here. 3,000 of you want to become one Daniel. In the real sense. So it says that Daniel. So Daniel, you know, Daniel, the anointing of Daniel is on my life. The anointing of favor. There will be problem in that meeting until you get there. Why? why the unnecessary ginger? Yeah, may that solution which you are a solver for may it never be solved until you get there. You are yearning down for your pastor in your own church. Another one is going to his own church and yearning the same thing. What will now put to it? What will now put to the problem? All together, you know, there's a way they used to say there are three W's in heaven: the warriors, the worshippers, and the worshippers. That's why you say this, that if you try prayer and it doesn't work, there's something that can never not work. Oh, what is that? Worship. Oh, no, praise. Yeah? If you try prayer, it doesn't work, try praise. That's one of the most undoctrinal teachings you can ever hear in the history of mankind. That's one of the most undoctrinal teachings. You are indirectly trying to play down prayer. Yeah. I don't know, we just woke up in the morning and just praising God. He has done for me. Say, oh, I'm a praise machine. Praise machine. You know what praise machine is? One who quickens the inner you. If you're alive, you know God did not make you mad. You come on, don't shout. See, all those things are just emotional bites. Are we together? Yeah, that's what people want to hear. You know, but the truth is that God's word remains constant in season and out of season. So, what was Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar and those three guys saying? They were saying that even if you put us in the fire, we are consistent on our stand. If you don't put us in the fire, we are consistent on our stand. So don't allow circumstances change your stand on God's word. Are we together? Never allow circumstances change your stand on God's word. It is God's word forever. Say God's word forever. Say there is victory in God's word. Hallelujah. So he says, for a time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, look, go back to Galatians 1. Where were we? Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. You see that word there, trouble, is a word that means something that comes with fear, anxiety, or panic. Yeah, the word there, trouble, in verse 7, is a word that means what? Something that comes with fear, anxiety, or panic. It's a Greek word, tarazo. T-A-R-A-S-S-O. It means to create anxiety, then you are perplexed. Yeah, wondering what is going to happen next. Yeah, fear. You lose confidence or assurance. Yeah, that word there, trouble. So it means that, but there be some that trouble you. It means that the message that is another gospel that Paul taught about in Galatians 1:7 brings fear to the hearts of the listeners. Is that true? Yeah, it brings anxiety to the hearts of the listeners. Yeah, the message of Christ should actually end up convincing you or giving you more assurance or evidence concerning your faith. Did we read that today? 2 Timothy 3. Yeah, but what does another gospel do? It creates anxiety in you. It creates fear. You look at the same word was used in a few other verses. Look at Matthew 2 verse 3. So, trouble has to do with the slant of your heart, the state of your mind. Matthew 2 verse 3. When Herod the king had heard, he was what? He was what? Troubled. Yeah, what do you suppose that troubled would mean? Something that has to do with fear, anxiety, panic. You are perplexed about what will happen next. You are confused. You don't even trust what you had known 10 minutes ago. Are we together? Look at Matthew 15. Matthew 14, 26. Oh, sorry. Matthew 14, 26. He says what? And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were what? Troubled. Is that the same word? Yeah, they were troubled. What was Paul saying? Paul was saying that this message, which is another gospel, is actually a message that troubles your heart. What does trouble your heart mean? It means that it creates fear and anxiety in you. Look at Acts 15, verse 24. says, Acts 15:24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. With what? With what? Now, hold on. What do you suppose was creating the trouble in Galatians? Are we following? Where was the trouble affecting your heart? How do you allow trouble to affect your heart? By what you listen to. Right? So he says that for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. What are you doing? Subverting your soul, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law to whom we gave no such commandment. So it means that they were teaching a different doctrine. Did you get that? Look at it. They went out of them teaching a different doctrine. Is that true? In their doctrine, what now? How do I communicate doctrine to you? Words by teaching. Yeah, so I use words to teach. So what were they now? How do you suppose they were subverting the souls of the people? By the words, by what they were teaching. Yes, what were they teaching? Ye must be circumcised and keep the law. What did he call them? They are troubling you with words. Are we together? So go back to Galatians. Galatians 1. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. Is that similar to Acts 15? Is that similar to Acts 15? What were they doing in Acts chapter 15? They were subverting doctrine, subverting their souls by teaching different doctrines. Are we together? Are we here this morning?
Yes,
let me hear. Yes. Are we here this morning?
Yes,
beautiful. Yeah. So there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What did he call it in Luke? Call it in Acts 15. Subverting your souls. Hallelujah. So you see, the greatest enemy of the gospel of Christ is in what we say. All together. What we say is more dangerous than one who tries to come and demolish our building as a church. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah. The devil will be happier if there is a building that is standing firm and no FCD wants to demolish. But the man there is teaching another gospel, subverting the souls. So the devil is actually not going to be happy if what? The people that are teaching God's word are teaching the gospel. So what is devil after the most? It's not about the building. Do you understand? But it's about doctrine. Did you get that? Let me say it again. What the devil is after the most in the hearts of people is what? Okay, let me say this way. What the devil is after the most is the hearts of people, not the building that people stay in. So the devil is after the message. Because in what is being taught, your souls are either aligned or realigned or deepened in convictions or what? Subverted. So words are important. See what Paul is now saying. He says that they are perverting the gospel of Christ. Look at verse 8. Let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. What is Paul saying? Even if we, did Paul include himself? See, Paul did not say even if all these people. He says even if we. Or an angel from heaven. Right? Is that what he says?
Yes, sir.
Should preach any other gospel. What did he call any other gospel in verse 6? Another gospel. Yeah? What does another gospel do? Subverts it. So what does it do in verse 7? Troubles your heart. What does trouble mean? Creates fear. Creates anxiety. What does that mean? Any message that you preach, that you live with fear in your heart, you subverted the gospel. You've perverted the gospel. Did you get that? Yeah. If I finish teaching and you live with more fear than conviction of what God has done in you, I have successfully perverted the gospel. I have successfully subverted your souls. I have successfully created fear in you, which is what? I'm troubling your heart. Are we together? So no matter how much we teach doctrine about conduct, yeah, we must affirm and reassure our stand in Christ. For anything that makes me allow your heart to be troubled, I have what? Perverted the gospel. That's why he says, this gospel troubles you. It creates fear in your heart. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That word there, accursed, is the word that means to be separated. Are we together? Is the word that means to be separated. To be separated. Hallelujah. Yeah? To be separated. So, if you look at it. Imagine I come to you and say, this morning we're going to be teaching about 750 keys to superabundance. Are we together? All together? Yeah? If after I finish teaching it, no, really, when I finish teaching it, your heart will not be stable. 750 keys to superabundance, only one door. 750 keys. Yeah? So, 100 ways to break through as a believer. 100 ways to break through in Christ. 100 ways to... All I end up doing is creating more trouble in your heart. Because any message like that you listen to, think about it very well. You think about it now. See, if I say... imagine I use one of the stories in the Bible to teach about problem happening, or maybe even if it's Daniel and in problem. You know, and I... You know that if I say some things about trouble, almost all of us here will actually relate with it. You know? You don't know? If I say, I'm seeing you... you're almost on that line to receiving the billion US dollar contract. Keep at it. How many of you will not keep at it? Even though I don't tell you what to keep at, you will keep at it. Are we together? Yeah. But what does that do actually? It creates anxiety in you. It creates fear to a degree in you. But what is Paul saying? He's saying what that if we, so look at it. Galatians and Revelations, which one was written first? Which book was written first, Galatians or Revelation? So it means that Revelations was written after Galatians was written. Are we together? So it means that if you read the book of Revelation and the message that you leave there with troubles your heart, what did Paul call it? Another gospel. Did you hear that? So if you read the book of Revelation and your heart is troubled, you are anxious, hey, will I still make heaven the way I am like this? What have you done? Is either you have not read Revelations well or Revelation is another gospel. Look at Revelation chapter 1 verse 1. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on. Are we there? Let's read again. 1, 2, 3, go. You not say boom, comma. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. What did Paul say about angels and men? If any other man, if we or any other angel should preach another message which is different from what we have delivered, let him be accursed. So Revelation tells you that in verse 1 that the book of Revelation is to reveal who? Is the Antichrist? So how do you know you've not read the book of Revelations well? When you go to the book of Revelations and you leave there with more knowledge about Antichrist than Christ. More knowledge about horse than Christ. More knowledge about white donkey than Christ. Yeah, you've read Revelations out of... Because Paul says that... So if the book of Revelations is saying a different story from what Paul said in Galatians, in Philippians, in Ephesians, what did Paul say? Let him be what? A cause. Then we can decide to tear the book of Revelations from our Bible. So if Revelation is in the Bible and John was with Jesus, John wrote the book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the book of John, Revelation. So it means that what John is teaching in Revelation is not different from what he taught in John. Are we together? It's not even what he taught in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. The assurance of our faith. Our faith is deepened. Our convictions are deepened. Are we together? So once we hear a message different from what the apostles teach, what did Paul say? Go back to Galatians 1:8. Though we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I deliver unto you that which I first received. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 2, what is the gospel? By which also ye are saved. So what makes you saved? What makes you saved? What makes you saved? Right? So what made them saved? What is he saying? If you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received. Who is talking here? What did Paul say in Galatians? If we or any other teach you anything different from what we delivered, what did they deliver? How that Christ died for our, according to the. So it means that Genesis to Malachi doesn't even teach that Christ died for prosperity. What did Genesis to Malachi tell us that Christ died for? Sins. How Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. And that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. So it means that scriptures taught about Christ dying and his resurrection. Did you get that? Where do you suppose Paul was teaching from in 1 Corinthians 15? Genesis to Malachi. What did he say about any message different from that message? It is another gospel. So any message that troubles your heart is another. So if you finish teaching believers' conduct and your heart is troubled, you say, see, there's a difference between your heart being troubled, not sure of your salvation, and you having a sense of remorse to change your lifestyle. Did you get that? Did you get that? A lot of you would have a remorse to change your lifestyle. Don't say, Pastor has troubled my heart though. Are we together? Are we together? Now, not just going to say, Pastor, this message is troubling my heart too. Yeah, in the real sense, it is pricking your heart so that you know you are to change. Because there are certain things we have to change. Why? Because we are believers. There's a conduct expected for a man who is in Christ. Are we together? Are we together? So there are some things we don't do. Yeah, we'll explain that in 1 Corinthians, where it says that for the sake of weaker conscience. Are we together? Yeah, when Paul's teaching about food offers to idols. He said that, oh, your knowledge has puffed you up. Yeah, he says, but there's no other God in the earth. We know there's no other God in the earth. But there are weaker consciences around. There are people, let me say this today. There are people who will do certain things today. Let me say it this way. There are people who are doing certain things today because I did it. Are we here? There are people who are doing certain things today because you've done it. Are we together? You know, Nigerian culture, you know, our mothers used to think there's something wrong in wearing short knicker. Sorry, the short knicker is a repetition. Sorry, short. Yeah? You know, cover your legs is your private part. Regret things like that. Why are you looking at me as if I'm strange? I didn't say my family said that. I'm just saying that that is something, you know, you wear knicker or there's some things that, you know, there's some things, look at it. There's some things that I'll wear, you start wearing. Why? We are product of influences. It's not far-fetched. It's not spiritual. Yeah, so it means that in my activities and the things that I do, I must be ready to always remember that people are always looking. So I will not do certain things not because it is wrong. But I will not do certain things because I shouldn't do certain things or because I'm a believer. What did Paul say? He says that the scriptures have already told us that what? Christ will die for sins. Now he has died for sins. That is the message of the gospel. He says, if we or any other should bring another message that troubles your heart, let that person and his message be accursed. Hallelujah. So when you see some movies that create fear in you, you know some movies, you know, you just watch some movie, you just see in the church, people just disappear. Are we together? Are people, and there are people that remain, will start crying, God, you forgot me. God, I've been legendary. You know? Yeah. Or you see some people that and they're on the sick bed and they're about to die. And the pastor that comes to minister to them tells them that, oh, it's too late. The salvation can never be too late as long as you are breathing. Altogether, salvation can never be too late to be received from any man as long as they are breathing. That's why a lot of these men who have terrorized the world, yeah? None of us was there or none of us stood by them when they were dying. You cannot know the last thing. That's why what you call on the last day, only two believers. Is that what they say? Only? Okay, true, okay. There is two believers. It's me and the person that I sing, you know. I don't know for you. You think you say your own. I mean, now it's me and the person that is singing. So only true believers. Only true believers shall be raptured on the last day. On the last day. So when I'm finishing down, I say, are you a believer? Or are you a believer? I'm not just people say something like, are you a believer or are you a Christian? You've not heard very deep words like that. The difference between a believer and a Christian, a believer is one who believes the gospel, a Christian is one who comes to church. Well done. Deep. Yeah. So when you see messages like that that put fear in your heart, that you're not sure about your eternal salvation, it is a message that troubles your heart. It creates anxiety in you. Are we together? Are we together? You see, sermons that make you rededicate and rededicate your life over and over again is a message that troubles the heart. You know, some people just like running in the church. If you understand what I said, you understand. If you know, you know. It's a message that any message that makes you, you know, some people. Let me tell you what I'm saying. One same man is preaching in two different venues. The two different venues, he called out for altar call. You came out for the two. The first time you got there, the prayer, he say, I make a U-turn today. You make U-turn, you are turning. The second meeting, you make U-turn again, you are turning. I make a U-turn. Yeah. You know, some people say that anytime they hear, or have you not seen people that anytime they hear altar call, they just feel like going out? You know, anytime I just hear that altar call, I just feel like going out. Things like that, you know. In the real sense, it's just an understanding of the doctrine. A lot of times, it's just, a lot of times, it expresses you are in doubt of the work of Christ. Altogether, a lot of times, when you keep coming out, sorry, dedicated, you're just expressing doubt. It means that you're not sure of what happened the last time. Yeah, a believer is one who, at every phase of his life, must always bring to his consciousness that he is full of God. Are we together? Yeah, a believer, I'll say it again, a believer is one who, at every phase of his life, must always bring to his consciousness that he is full of God. Listen, say, I'm full of God. Yeah, that's why we say your understanding of sound doctrine, it determines your dreams, your revelations. You know, it's only when you don't have a proper understanding of sound doctrine that you have dreams of people in heaven in mansions, or you have buildings in heaven. Yeah, or you think that, oh, there's this, God said he has finished roofing my house. With that doctrine, a lot of us will not have house. God took me to heaven and showed me that, you know, there's a street in my name. You see, either you win souls or you don't win souls, you are saved forever. Do you get that? Do you get what I just said? Either you win souls or don't win souls. But really, in the fact that you have been saved, yeah, proper doctrine should spoil you to win souls. Why? Because you know God counts on you. See, your conduct doesn't make you miss heaven or make heaven. That's just the honest truth that a lot of us don't want to hear or don't want to say. But the truth, you don't make heaven or lose heaven. You know, some people, they say, oh, all my purpose in life is just to make heaven. Yeah? You don't make heaven or lose heaven. You know, when we're growing up, we used to have, have you not heard people say that when you're going into a beer parlor, the Holy Spirit will wait for you at the door? You've not heard the stories. People are born again. Now. You were born again with sound doctrine. So once I go to the nightclub, the Holy Spirit will wait for you at the door. He can't follow you into there. The Holy Spirit doesn't talk to people who are sinners. God doesn't answer prayers of sinners. When you are a non-believer, you prayed the altar call prayer. Who were you? Who were you? What were you? Whose were you? Whom were you? Are we together? You know, so the Spirit of God dwells in the believer every day. So a message that makes you doubt the Spirit of God in you has troubled your heart. That's what Paul was teaching about. Yeah, look at what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's end there. 1 Thessalonians 4, sorry. So, the sound doctrine you learn in church should influence your conduct in life, your lifestyle. Your conduct in life, your lifestyle. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 to 18. Are we together? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Who are those who sleep in Jesus? Those who are dead, right? So, do you see that? Now, who was the first person to use the word sleep in the Bible?
Moses.
Where? Adam fell into a deep sleep. So, what was Adam fell into a deep sleep? Christ died. I think we've taught that in church. Yeah, Christ died, right? So, that sleeping in Christ, right, is what? Dead. Yeah? So, he says, so, would that verse be, for if we or since we... Is it an if or we? For if we believe that Jesus died, is it an if or a since? So a good way to read that way, that for since we believe that Jesus died and rose, even so them also we sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Next verse. For this we say, let's read together, 1, 2, 3, go. What is Paul teaching about? Those that are dead in Christ will rise again, and we that are alive, we cannot prevent them from rising again. Are we together? Look at verse 16. 1, 2, 3, go. Hallelujah, right? So there's something called the dead in Christ shall rise first. So Paul says in verse 17. 1, 2, 3, let's read together. Paul is not saying that we will not be walking on the sky. These are figures of speech Paul is using. But we'll explain it in investigating salvation. Yeah? Look at verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. What did Paul say about those things? So the words of, or the, look at it. That someone dies, what should we comfort ourselves with? Those who died in Christ, those who sleep in Christ shall rise again. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, so what did he say about it? He said we should comfort one another with this word. So it means that the assurance we have is in the fact that we will rise again. You tell her, say, I'll rise again. I'll rise again. Even though I sleep, I'm full of God, I'll rise again. So what did Paul say? He says, comfort one another with this word. So it means that the second coming is a message that should bring comfort to us, not fear. Do you get that? So what does that say? Will you be ready? Will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Is that the song? When the Lord shall come. Yeah, so will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Yeah, that's the message that comforts you. Because when they say, will you be ready? Your mind, a tendency for us to say, it's what happened yesterday. I'm supporting your ass now. You know, you're supporting your ass now. You're always prone to say a lot of things when you're playing football. So you're not sure of your salvation right after every match. In other things, but when we bring comfort to us, yeah. So, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, I want to be in that number. When the saints go, that brings fear to your heart. That brings anxiety to your heart because you'll be like, "Mister, I'm like, am I a saint? Are we together? Are we together?" Yeah, 20 years story. Like, oh, there was a man. He was fervent for Christ. Oh, no. The last year, he just divorced his wife and he just died 1 month after. Oh, don't let your life go that way. That troubles your heart. Yeah, when he says he divorced his wife after, you know, and God took him to heaven and saw that he was in hell. Yeah, when you see a message that says that what? Oh, hey, this woman was in hell. Oh, she's in hell. Oh, why? Because she's in, she was wearing earrings. Yeah, the people that are in hell right now because they're wearing earrings now. Yeah. People that are here right now because I went trouser, you know, and sometimes we think God is very jobless. I'm telling you, we just think that God is jobless. Yeah. God, she's in hell. Oh, the angel of the Lord took me and said, what? Remember the story of Jesus when he gave a parable and he said, Lazarus and the rich man. What did the rich man say? He says, what? God, send another man or send Lazarus to go and warn my family that they should change their ways. What did Jesus say? They have the prophets with them. So nobody is going to heaven and come back. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? There's not one single person who has got it. God took me and I saw heaven made with gold. What only made gold before? Your mind has already told. Very soon now, some people start going to heaven and what they see in the heaven is crypto. It's crypto. It's Bitcoin, Ethereum that will be on. Now, you see, it advances with technology. If you don't treat ignorance, technology will just amplify it for you. Listen. CB1 woke up last year. I said God took around the cities of the world. I was telling her the demons that were fighting in different cities. CB was in something like a plane. Why didn't you have, you know, if 200, maybe 1,000 years ago, you would not have that kind of dream. Now, because you've entered plane one time, you have seen people down there. You say that God took you. Who are you? God took you. Demons that are fighting. You say, I think it's a prostitution that's in Nigeria. No, it's in Brazil. And all those are very unusual things. So very soon, your knowledge will increase. And you'll be seeing Bitcoin. And the gospel to me, and the coin was made with Ethereum and the floor Bitcoin. And I asked the Lord, what's the difference? He says, for that which you step on. Oh, glory to God. You know, and things like that. You know, so there was a man, there was a brother that was fervent. You know, another sudden, you know, God just took him and just said, yeah. And there's a lady, why is she in heaven? God said, because she was using makeup. Makeup, color. God is job, color. Because of color. Eh? He say, some of them say, if God wanted your hair to be pierced, why did you take PSC from birth? If God doesn't want you to be naked, why did he give you clothes from birth? I mean, now, if he doesn't want you to be naked, why did he just give you clothes from birth? As a mother just give her like this, oh boy, you're on booba, you're already full. You're already with Gele. When your mother is giving birth, you say, push. The person will now say, only Gele has come out, only Gele. Push more, push at that. Let the shoe remain shoe. Hello, you see, God is just so, you know, you cannot blame the, you know, see, if you don't allow some sound doctrine influence your perspective to life, you'll be saying nonsense and you'll be proud of it. You know, any message that puts trouble in your heart about your eternal state is a message that is another gospel. Either they call it 5G or 6G. We just moved from 4G to 5G. People created a big, started doing projector. Started drawing a map. They've not finished launching 5G. People have started sharing 6G in India. No, when 6G becomes normal now, Antichrist message will increase. Because 6G is 6. G looks like 6. So it's 666. So that we just think God is just one jobless being, like just looking for who to... And like I said, is our you know, I was talking about how, you know, the colors we have in our events right now are very strange. wedding color is dusty pink, cockroach brown, no, intelligent white or brilliant white. Is there an intelligent white? Because, you know, so all these things influence. That's why if they ask you to think about heaven, now you think of people wearing white. Who sewed the clothes? Who measured you? Brasanchi. Who measured you? Who sewed the coat? What? No, you know, all those things are just very interesting things in our hearts. You know, so when you think white is not a godly color, are we together? White is not a color for God. Black is not a color for devil. You know, so all these superstitions must not flow with things. Yeah, are we together? So any message that we must listen to that's the gospel of Christ, the gospel that reassures our salvation. Are we together, dear saints? Let's pray in the Holy Ghost for a few moments. Parabosh, okay, for Canada, okay?